I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome to Your Money Matters with MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Today, we're talking with Robin McKinney. She's the executive director of the Maryland Cash Campaign, which is short for Creating Assets, Saving, and Hope Campaign. That sounds interesting. Robin, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's a lot that goes on with that. Maybe another day we can really explore this Savings, Assets, and Hope Campaign. I want to know about that. But tell us about this legislative effort you all have been making to make financial literacy become an integral part of public school curriculums.
Well, if you think about public school, we spend a lot of time teaching kids language arts, teaching them math skills, which are really the foundation for helping people to manage their money, helping people to be able to read the contracts that they're signing, mm-hmm. As well as the math skills to balance their checkbook. But there's a kind of additional critical learning piece, which is introducing financial education topics. And there are lots of people who say, well, if we just do it in high school right before they graduate, that'll cover everybody because they don't really have money before then. But just like with English, just like with math, we know that these are skills that need to be built over time. And so there's been some really exciting efforts in Maryland. There was a financial literacy task force that the General Assembly appointed in 2008 that include different financial institutions, community partners like myself, different state agencies to figure out what can we really do for K through 12 in public education. And out of that, we came up with a bunch of recommendations, and one of which was that the Maryland State Department of Education really needs to take a look at this and figure out, is it going to be a requirement? Is it going to be kind of in a content standard so that everyone has to teach to it, but there's a little more flexibility? Or should they not do anything at all?
What do you think?
I think that it's kind of the both and approach. What I'm excited about, and actually just next week, they're going to be voting on these content standards. There's been a public comment period. The Maryland State Department of Education created an advisory team and a design team to figure this out and really say, what do we really think kids need to know? And they are looking at it in grade bands. So what do kids need to know between grades 3 and 5, between grades 6 and 8, and between 9 and 12 to say what are really the concepts here? And so actually next week the State Board is voting on these content standards to see if they're going to be adopted, and schools will have until 2011 to comply. And I think that that's a great way, again, to build those foundational learnings. At the same time, I also think it's great to say in high school, in, you know, freshman college, in those critical years, what's the capstone course that we also need to think about? Because now people are going to be applying a lot of those different kind of critical concepts that they've learned. So I like the both and approach.
So what will kids walk out of if this actually becomes a reality in our city and county schools?
I think that they'll have a great sense of not just the definitions and some understanding of different financial terms, but also the critical thinking and analysis. How do you become a good consumer, right? Lots of things to purchase, lots of things to save for in the future. I think they'll have more critical learning skills to really understand how, if they go to college, if they're going to school, if they're going to work, there's going to be money that's coming in, whether it's financial aid or from a wage, that maybe they won't have every kids are still going to be rash at times.
And adults as well.
And adults, and they're still going to make, you know, potentially bad decisions, but at least they'll have this kind of foundational grounding to say, oh, you know, before I open this credit card, I should really read the terms of the statement.
So you want, I mean, part of this, the method to your madness, so to speak, is because you want to see kids from an early age start really thinking differently about the money, how to manage it, how to live your life and enjoy your life with whatever it is you have.
Yes. And what we hear from lots of people is, I wish, you know, whenever people get into financial trouble, especially in the early 20s, if only someone told me, why don't we learn about this in school? And so we say, let's not just check the box and say, oh, I learned about it in school, but how can you make it academically rigorous? And how can you have a thoughtful approach that it really is over the course of their education instead of this, you know, just do an assembly and be done. And what's great is there's a group called the Maryland Coalition for Financial Literacy, which has been working on this for about 5 years. So there's been this kind of groundswell of support from, you know, different counties, from teachers, from parents, from all these folks who have really sat down and worked out the hard details of really what's in, you know, what are the critical pieces? Identity theft, we know, is huge. Savings, budgeting, and how do you really break that down over time?
And you have an event coming up?
Well, on Tuesday, the state board is going to be adopting or voting to adopt these standards. So we're going to be one of a few states in the country who's actually going to have these content standards in place.
When we get you back next time, I'll have to find out what happened.
We hope it goes through.
Thank you so much. We've been talking with Robin McKinney, Executive Director of the Maryland Cash Campaign. And you've been listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by MeQ. MeQ, invest in yourself, and we'll invest in you. More information, 1-800-248-MECU or www.mecu.com. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and last week, wasn't it? Yes, we talked with Comptroller Peter Franchot, who came out and voted against the purchase of slot machines with state money, even though it was part of the bill and a legal thing to do. And we did call the Maryland State Lottery Agency to join us. They could not join us that day. Right after that program, we received an email from one of our listeners who was upset by the Peter Franchot's comments, even though he was anti-slots himself, and said that if the state decided to demand 67% of the gross of the casinos, more than any other state in the nation, and the only way they could do it was by buying these machines, which was a fact we didn't come out with on that program. So we are joined now by Stephen Martino, who is director of the Maryland State Lottery Agency, to hear the other side. And Stephen Martino, welcome. Good to have you with us. Stephen, he's there? Did you bring him up? Stephen?
Hello.
Hi, you're there.
Yes.
Good. Good to have you there.
Good. Pleasure to be with you.
Good. Good to have you here. So let's talk a bit about what you've been announcing lately and what the situation is. I mean, because it's one of the issues was raised here and raised in the newspaper, in the Sun, that is that we're paying too much for these machines, that the prices are outrageous. So talk about that.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and correct the record as we really see things. I think you're absolutely correct, though, Mark. There has been some inaccurate reporting and I think some, you know, political hyperbole on this matter. And what came out was the belief that the lottery was paying over $46,000 per slot machine. And I can assure you that nothing could be further from the truth. Last week, the Board of Public Works was asked to approve the initial purchase for the Hollywood Casino in Cecil County. That's 1,062 machines. 795 of those are actually being purchased. The other 267 are being leased by the state. In every case of where the machine is being purchased by the state of Maryland, the price for the machine is between $18,000 and $25,000, depending on manufacturer. Today, two independent gaming analysts, Union Gaming out of Las Vegas and Stifel Nicholas, which is actually Baltimore-based, one of their analysts, issued reports that said the price being paid by the Maryland Lottery was very much in line with industry standards and norms for the current price of slot machines. And that is what it takes to put together a competitive gaming floor. And we believe very strongly that Maryland is in a hyper-competitive gaming environment. There are places to gamble in Pennsylvania, Delaware, West Virginia. You don't have to go too far down the road, and you're in Atlantic City. And so to make this program successful, we believed it was important to make sure that there was an appropriate mix of machines, working with the owner and operator of the facility in Cecil County, Penn National Gaming, to really make sure that this is a success for the state of Maryland and generates the revenue that the people of the state expect it to.
Now, what about the argument that Comptroller Franchot made that we should be doing what Delaware does, which is leasing the machines and not buying them?
Sure. You know, an important thing to highlight is that in kind of getting to this very rudimentary shorthand of $46,000 per machine and taking the overall contract price is that this is a five-year contract. That includes maintenance. Now, we sharpened our pencil here, looked at the numbers very, very carefully, and in many cases, it was more cost-effective for the state. It was a better deal for the state of Maryland over the five-year life of the contract to purchase machines than it was to lease them. It really didn't make any sense in some cases to pay more than four times a purchase price over the five-year life of the contract. And so that's why we made the decision, and it was fully anticipated by the General Assembly when they passed their law in 2007, because it expressly says own or lease these machines.
We're talking right now with Stephen Martino, who is director of the Maryland State Lottery Agency, in response to the conversation we had last week with Comptroller Peter Franchot, who voted on the Board of Public Works against the purchase of the slot machines for the two casinos being built here in the state of Maryland out of the four that are going to be – four is going to be built in total in the state of Maryland. So when you look at this, there seems to also be a real problem with getting these other ones open, and that the money we thought we were investing in this is not going to come back as quickly as we thought. What about that?
Well, I think that's true, and I think that's a mix of sometimes heightened expectations when gaming passes. People think that you can just build a facility and fill it full of slot machines, and the money starts pouring in. And unfortunately, having had some experience with this, actually a considerable amount of experience in my previous position in Kansas, where we did a very similar gaming expansion, things never develop as quickly as you might hope that they would. And especially in a jurisdiction like Maryland, and Kansas was the same way, where it's not an unlimited license jurisdiction, but instead there's a competitive bid process put in, and it takes time to implement that. And I have to also say that, really the timing to expand gaming in Maryland probably couldn't have been any worse as it regards the economy. The economy has not been a friend in this process. We all know that the ultimate failure of the application last time around in Baltimore City was a direct result of insufficient assets by the proposed operator. In the case of Rocky Gap, that has not generated yet an applicant. The legislature made some changes this year that hopefully will attract someone to come in. And then I think everyone knows that the situation of the proposed facility in Anne Arundel County is tied up in the courts right now.
And in the referendum taking place in the fall elections. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're talking with Stephen Martino, director of the Maryland State Lottery Agency, in response to the conversation we had with Comptroller Franchot last week. 410-319-8888. What about the argument also made that day that the Maryland State Lottery just doesn't know what it's doing, that you are not part of the gambling industry, therefore you don't know how to buy these machines, and it really is foreign territory that shouldn't be under your control?
Well, first of all, it's under our auspices because that's the way the legislature, the General Assembly set it up. They made a policy decision that they believed it was beneficial to the state, to the integrity and the transparency of the gaming program, that the state own the slot machines. Quite frankly, I think that there are better ways to make a point than to attack hardworking public servants who have been working for a great deal of time on this issue. And we're not neophytes in trying to put this together. These are issues that the staff here at the lottery have been looking at for nearly 2 years since the legislation. I guess 3 years now. The legislation originally passed in 2007. Have been educating themselves. Have spent a lot of time in other jurisdictions, particularly looking at what the surrounding states, Pennsylvania and Delaware in particular, have been doing, and really trying to put together a program that meets industry standards and upholds the integrity of this program.
So you mentioned a minute ago you originally came from Kansas, and you ran the lottery there?
I was in Kansas. I was the executive director of the Racing and Gaming Commission. And during my time at the Racing and Gaming Commission, the legislature in Kansas expanded gaming, and we opened the first state-owned and operated casino in the nation.
What we thought was going to save some tracks may not save. People are arguing may not save tracks. We've just seen Rosecroft closing.
Absolutely. And the facility at Ocean Downs, we hope will be open by the end of the year. And again, I think that this ties to the type of legislation and the expectation of people when it is passed, and really what are the goals and the aims. Again, this precedes me coming here, but understand that the track at Laurel filed an application, but there wasn't the deposit that was required. And right now that issue is before the courts and with the referendum, and so we'll see how that plays out.
We're talking with Steve Martin. But he's not the comedian. Steve Martino, who's director of the Maryland State Lottery Agency. 410-319-8888. Before we run out of time here, Stephen, I wanted to make sure that you got in all the thoughts you wanted to share in response to what happened on the air before that the lottery may want the public to know?
Well, I think the only other point that I would specifically highlight, and I don't want to get in the back and forth with anyone because I don't think that's appropriate in my
right.
position or really anyone here at the lottery, because we are just simply implementing the law that the General Assembly passed. But I would just want to highlight for your listeners who may have heard last time that there was certainly a claim that we don't even know about the quality of these machines, and you know it's possible that we would be getting broken hand-me-downs from Pennsylvania and from Delaware. And I just want to assure your listeners that that is not at all the case, that under the contract that was approved unanimously in April, the master contract for the purchase of slot machines, there is a express provision that all of the equipment be new or warranted it is new from the manufacturer. So it's not as if people are going to be loading slot machines on U-Hauls from Pennsylvania and Delaware and loading them up. They are going to be coming from the manufacturer, and they will be warranted. And in addition, you know, there is a liquidated damages provision under the contract, which means that if a machine is inoperable for more than 90 minutes, we as the state can assess the expected revenue from that machine to the manufacturer. So if we lose money because we have inoperable machines, the state's still going to get its money. Because of that, there's really no reason. In fact, it's completely in their financial, not in their financial interest for the manufacturer to be sending us machines that don't work.
Steve Martino, Director of the Maryland State Lottery Agency, thank you so much for being part of our show today.
Glad to be here.
The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite, Baltimore's free monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. This month, Urbanite writers look behind the gritty facade of some of the city's tougher neighborhoods. What they find might surprise you. Urbanite is available at over 800 locations and online at www.urbanitebaltimore.com. We're about to take a break. Come back with an Urbanite radio story as we talk to Witold Vitol Rybaczynski, one of America's great architects. Stay with us. We'll be right back.